This is the last time I pose for a sculpture. Well, how much longer are you going to be, Practility? The arms are getting tired.
You can rest now. There. Finished at last. Well, Socrates, what do you think?
It's a magnificent, the most beautiful piece of sculpture I've ever seen.
Yes, it's a good likeness, isn't it?
Be quiet, Evie.
Well, what are you going to call it?
I shall call it the Venus di Milo.
Yes, it's a catchy title, but there's one thing you've overlooked. How on earth are you going to get it through the door?
Ah, I never thought of that.
I'm afraid you'll have to chip some of it off.
Oh, dear. After all the work I've put in on her extremity. I'm loath to do it. So, I suppose it's the only way. Oh, well. Here goes.
That was an excerpt from A Farewell to Arms. Another of the books we recommend you to read, especially during the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those who can't read, here's a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Jelly Deal magnate Gordon Mylender, Tita Lolita Pepita Juanita Macmillan, Ben Gunn and his musical cheeses, the House of Lords ice hockey team, Leslie Campdown, Miss Amelia Birdwatcher.
I bet she'd do anything for a lark.
To continue, Fenella Valmouse, Gypsy Rose Featherston Hall, and, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the only show that dares to bring you Beyond Our Ken. Matter of fact, we received a telegram the other day from the head of Variety, which read...
Heard your show, stop.
Which we all appreciated very much. However, let me, as usual, tell you what I did last week. On Monday, I went to the fun fair at Battersea, spent all my time on the rifle range. I shot two glass ashtrays, a plaster Alsatian, and a cuddly teddy bear, for which I won 6 clay pipes. Tuesday, I didn't have much on, so I got into the bath. It wasn't a complete waste of time, because I managed to catch up on some of my correspondence with my new pen that writes underwater. Matter of fact, I had a reply to one of my letters this morning, which said, "Dear sir, in reply to your foggy mess of the 15th, I note that you have now gone into liquidation." Wednesday, I decided to get rid of a few items of furniture, and the second-hand dealer turned out to be a rather attractive young lady. Well, we didn't get very far, unfortunately, because, as she said...
I'm sorry, Mr. Horne, but I'm afraid I can't allow anything on the couch.
However, on Thursday, I spent a quiet day at home working away with my knitting needles and a roll of flex. I'm knitting an electric blanket. Cable stitch, of course. And I just completed a row of 1 purl, 2 plain, and 3 amps when Prudence swept into the room. Prudence, sweep it out again.
Oh, but sir, I was just going to brush it under the carpet.
Well, you always do, Prudence. This is the only carpet in Kensington with a pile underneath. Do you know I have to walk uphill to the piano? Now, Prudence, answer the doorbell.
But it isn't ringing, sir.
Now, what's your excuse?
Oh, here I go again. The people that call at this house.
Who is it, Prudence?
I don't really know, sir. It looks like a cross between a Canadian mountie and a Swiss yodeler. He's got flags in his socks, a feather in his hat, and his tie is stuck in a serviette ring.
Madam, I'm a scout.
Well, now, are you? But you won't find any Indians here.
All right, Prudence, leave this to me. Oh, good gracious, the Boy Scout. Come in, sir, won't you?
Thank you, sir. All right, chaps, take the trick cart to HQ. I'll walk back.
I say, don't you blokes usually carry a pole around?
Yes, but you know what it is these days? You can't get the staff.
I say, look here, my name's Peter Chisholm. All chaps call me Cheesy Chisholm. I'm the scoutmaster of the 7th Kensington Gorton.
Oh, jolly good. Come into the lodge.
Oh, I say, sir, what a sitting log fire. You know, the smell of wood smoke really does something to our chaps.
Really?
Not there.
What?
Makes us cough. I bet it took a good 2 matches to get that fire going.
Didn't use one.
Good for you, sir. You rubbed 2 sticks together.
No.
You didn't do it with a magnifying glass in the sun, did you?
No.
Well, then how?
I turned it on into an electric fire.
Well, those logs are dash realistic. Still, bit of a cheat, isn't it? I mean, we in scouting like to rough it a bit. Nothing like the good old simple down-to-earth, fresh, wholesome sort of life.
Care for a drink?
Dry martini, please. Now, sir, the point is, we'd like you to join our mob.
Me? A scout?
Yes. We think you'd be a great asset to us. We've often spotted you helping old ladies across the street.
Oh.
And young ladies, too.
Oh.
And what's more, sir, we also saw you trying to give 10 shillings to an old tramp on the corner.
That was my bookmaker.
Well, anyway, perhaps you'd like to come down to our scout hut and see us in action.
Oh, I don't mind. Tell me, how do I get there?
Now, this is where the practical side of scouting things into action. According to my compass, it's north or east. The wind is blowing from the south. The sun sets in the west. We're on 0 degrees longitude. So, allowing for a slight margin of error and taking into consideration the distance factor, I'd say that... Yes, I've got it.
Well, where is it?
Next orbit one.
Ah, this must be it. Excuse me, is this the Boy Scout?
No, no, we're the girl guide. Oh, good gracious, it's a man. back. I saw him first.
Well, actually, I was looking for the count.
Oh, that over there, the other side of the barbed wire.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll just...
No, please don't run along. Oh, come in. We're just about to have a sing-song round the campfire. That's right. Pull up a toadstool. Now, girls, we're going to be entertained by Tawny Owl. Tawny Owl, to whit-a-woo.
Oh, I'd recognize that. To it. To it to anywhere. Good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster.
Hello, Ken.
So, Pat, you're a girl guide this week, eh?
Yes. I think the writers are trying to get me a good name.
Well, you do your good deed for the day and sing, Pat.
It's a grand night for singing. The moon is flying high, and somewhere a bird who is bound to be heard is throwing his feathers high. It's a grand night for singing. The stars are bright above. The earth is aglow, and to add to the show, I think I am falling. More than the moon, maybe it's more than the birds, maybe it's more than the sight of the night in a light too lovely for words. Maybe it's more than the earth, shiny and silvery blue. Maybe the reason I'm feeling this way has something to do with you. It's a grand night for singing. The moon is flying high, and somewhere a bird who is bound to be heard is throwing his heart at the sky. It's a grand night for singing. The stars are bright above. The earth is aglow, and to add to the show, I think I am falling.
jolly nice hat, and thank you, guard captain.
Not at all. Do come and see us again.
Yes, yes. Well, goodbye.
To whit-a-woo!
Now then, the scout hunt must be this one. Oh, there's someone peering through the window at me.
I think that. Look, it's a full moon. I've never seen it this close before. Here, James. Has the man in the moon got a carnation in his buttonhole?
What's going on, Gibbler? I say, it's Mr. Horn. Quick, let him in, someone.
Ah, there you are, Chisholm.
Jolly decent of you to look in on us. I say, chap, this is Kenneth Horn.
Well, yeah, I say, you really, Kenneth Horn.
Yes.
Kenneth Horn is on the radio every week.
Yes, that's right.
And that's over yonder our cave.
Yes.
Right. See him, chap. All right. That's enough. Let him go now.
You're in luck, sir. They like you. By the way, sir, this is Patrol Leader Jeremy Arbuthnot.
How do you do? I'm a sea wit. Yes. I say, would you like a glass of wine?
A glass of wine?
Yes, we make it ourselves. It's Chateau Neuf du Tuit.
All right, Jeff, I'll try some.
Good. Hey! Send the grapes out. Start treading. Now, Mr. Horn, would you like white wine or red wine?
Oh, I think red, please.
Right. Paddy, yeah? Put your red socks on.
Well, Mr. Horn, are you learning about our little troop?
I certainly am. Look, this fellow, our bus knot, he seems rather advanced.
Oh, yes, well, he hasn't been with us for very long. He's typical of so many of the modern generation, you know, growing up with a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, I thought that was his head.
Actually, there's rather an interesting story about Arbuthnot. You see, only a short time ago, he was a somewhat flashily dressed youth with long, greasy hair rubbing the pile off his velvet collar.
Mm-hmm.
He was ringleader of all the Kensington Gaul Laobards. They used to meet in that Welsh coffee bar, the Two Eye Stedfords. Well, you can just picture it all.
Ah, Tallulah. You are the most.
Oh, thanks, Lottie.
When the music's on, you're real cool. I love the way you just stand there and go, I dig you like crazy.
Lottie, you're so poetic. Even Shakespeare never said things like that.
You haven't been seeing him again.
Oh, no. That was ever so long ago.
How about another drink, sis?
No. Oh, Lottie, you've had enough.
Who cares? Let's live a little. Taffy, two frothy coffees.
Two frothy coffees coming up. There you are.
Thanks. Well, here's mud in your eyes.
Lucky, mind where you're blowing your throat.
Yes, dear, did you?
Oh, you're a wild one. They'll never tame you.
Oh, you're right. I've got a devil in me tonight. Let's do something violent.
What?
Let's go down to dancing school in cha-cha during the Velita lesson.
Rocky, have you taken leave of your senses?
You keep out of this, Taffy. I feel strange tonight.
I'm not surprised you're feeling strange. In the last hour, you've had 34 cups of coffee, 15 lemon teas, 3 cheese rolls, 5 tubs of ice cream, and a lob for me and Eve.
Leave him alone. He's all mixed up inside.
Thanks, dear. I'm proud you're my girl. With your mohair sweater and your long beads, I know I can always count on you.
Lottie, you're not so bad yourself.
Oh.
How handsome you are in your fluorescent jeans, your suede creepers, and your black leather jacket with Alma Cogan stenciled on the back.
Yeah, and I think my dad wants me to join the Scouts. They won't get me into that daft uniform. Oh, Tallulah, why can't I be a great rock and roll singer?
But you could be.
It's no use. Oh, Frankie's turning me down. It's all because I can't snap my fingers.
Never mind, Rocky. Perhaps the world isn't ready yet for another Elvis Presley.
Personally, I don't think they were ever ready for the first one.
Look out, Rocky. Here comes your father.
I thought I'd find you here, you little perisher. I thought I told you to go to the Scouts meeting.
I'm not joining no Scouts.
So, you still defy me, do you? Well, I didn't want to have to do this to you, son, but you forced me. Tallulah, hand you over, kid.
Yes.
I've got something to tell you about this boy. Huh? You all know him as Rocky Steele.
No.
That is not his right name.
Dad, you can't do it.
Oh, yes, I can. Now, listen, everyone. His real name is Jeremy Arbuthnot.
Oh, Lord.
Where's the medical, Jeremy?
Oh, Dad, how could you? Oh, you've disgraced me in front of my mates. I'll never be able to hold up my head again. Well, goodbye, Tallulah.
Don't you speak to me.
Oh, it was time well enough. Goodbye, all.
Come along, son. The Scouts is waiting.
So that's the story, eh?
Yes, Mr. Horn, and once he's had a taste of this life, he completely changed. After reading Scouting for Boys, he wasn't interested in Scouting for Girls.
Well, it's really remarkable.
Yes, just goes to show that we can reform even the most degenerate layabout.
Well, in that case, I've got some more recruits for you.
A good show. Who?
Well, there's Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Bill Pertwee, Paul Fennelly, Jake... And from Scouts, we turn to another group who've been out scouting the songs. This week, we've tracked down one called Round Her Neck, She Wore a Golden Locket. So be prepared, it's the Fraser Hayes Four.
Round her neck, she wore a golden locket. She wore it in the springtime and in the month of May. And if you ask her why the heck she wore it for her lover who was far, far away. Far away, far away. She wore it for her lover who was far, far away. Round her neck she wore a golden locket. She wore it for her lover who was far, far away.
Round the park I pushed the perambulator.
She pushed it in the springtime and in the month of May. And if you ask her why the heck she pushed it, she pushed it for her lover who was far, far away.
Far away,
far away,
far away,
far away. Far away. Pushed it for her lover who was far, far away.
Far pushed Gwyneth Gogar I Gwendrybach. Slanty silly, oh.
Go, go, go! Behind the door, father kept the shotgun. He shot him in the springtime and in the lungs of the day. Now on his grave, she placed the wreath of roses. She placed it for her lover who was far, far away.
Kenneth Horn, documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horn and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And tonight, we present a close-up on show business. Are there no people like the people in the theater?
Or are there just no people in the theater? Well, first, let's get one or two opinions from people in show business. You, sir. Now, what do you do?
Well, I perform one of the most difficult feats in show business. First, I lock myself inside a glass case, and my assistant fills the case with gas. Then I strike two matches.
Yes. What's so difficult about that?
Striking the second match.
And finally, let's have a word with a film actor.
Good evening.
Good evening. Now, what was your best role?
Well, my favorite part was in the barracks of Wimpole Street. That marvelous scene where I chased the parlour maid upstairs.
Oh, I don't remember that scene.
No, the centre cut it out.
Why was that?
I caught her.
Let's now turn to another aspect of show business, the relationship of performer and audience. And naturally, every artist thrives on the warmth and applause of those who he seeks to entertain. How disheartening, then, when the efforts of a gifted company are greeted with indifference.
Justin, I've never seen such terrible display in all my life.
Throw some of these.
Oh, rotten tomatoes. What a good idea. Here, take this.
Good shot, Andrew.
Right on the nose. Give us another one.
Oh, you rotten lot. Take that.
And where are those eggs?
I thrown them all. Oh. I've only got the cabbage left.
Oh, that'll do. Now, watch this.
Well done, Andrew!
Yeah, that'll teach him for being such a rotten audience.
From the serious theatre, we now consider the variety stage, and of the many different kinds of variety acts, one that always fascinates us is the magician. And one of the most mystifying tricks in the magician's bag has always been sawing a woman in half. Now, what's the secret of this illusion? We sent our commentator, Cecil Smith, to investigate.
Well, listeners, I'm speaking to you from the stage of the Croyne Theatre, having volunteered to assist the great Colvini in his world-famous trick of sawing someone in half. And that is his signal for the famous box he brought on. It's an exciting moment. Of course, although I know that in the hands of the great Colvini, nothing can go wrong.
Right, in a box, mate.
There, that was the great Houdini himself. And now, listeners, I'm getting into the box. It's very quite comfortable. And we're just closing it down. Not the theater, the box. Now, the magician has taken a saw in his hand and is about to begin this amazing illusion. In a few moments, I hope to be telling you exactly how it's done. And this is Cecil Smith and Cecil Smith returning you.
Good old Cecil Smith, still doing things by half. Well now, one of the most disturbing features of show business today is the fact that so many variety theatres are being closed down to make way for blocks of offices. We wonder, however, whether the spirit of the theatre still lingers on in these premises. Take, for instance, the case of Hodgkinson and Butler Limited, whose new office was once the old Empire Theatre. Let's join them at one of their shareholders' meetings.
Hello, shareholders, how do? Well, we're ready with another spot of homely fun from the boardroom. And first, here's a report on the company affairs given to us by the share gazers.
There's no business.
And for a further comment, let's listen now to the sales manager and his assistant.
No sails in the sunset. No sails in the dawn. We're beginning to wish that.
Plastic fiber substitute and industrial press moldings
had never been born.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. Direct from his unsuccessful tour of the bank. Our chairman, Sir Henry Toby Jug Hutchinson.
Took the music, we've heard it before, right? Well, I won't take the cigar out of my mouth, I'm not stopping. I was just coming in today. A fella came up to me, a year older he was. He said, I want to know how we stand. I said, I don't know, it's a miracle. That's it, lady, loosen them up. But seriously, though. But seriously, though, boys and girls, I'm going to ask you out. All join me in singing the comedy song. All together now.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're begging and pining, but we travel along, singing our song. Fly, fly, fly.
Well, there you are. This is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought. When a garage attendant goes dancing, does he wear petrol pumps? Good night.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show, which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Patricia Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Federley. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman and Barry Took. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jake Brown.